Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 podcast. Or the Sergio Perez podcast, you could call it, for the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, as he is the king of the streets and the king of my heart is alongside me. Once again, my co-host, Tom P1 Bellingham. You can find him on all good platforms. Actually, no, only on Twitter. I'm pretty sure we're called loads of different things on different platforms. Anyway, hi, Tommy.
Saudi
chat time.
Indeed, yeah. Sergio Perez got his redemption, didn't he? for last year and getting screwed by the safety car, but not quite lights to flag, but almost.
Almost, indeed. But he is now 1 point behind Max Verstappen, although we thought maybe he'd be the championship leader, and that would have been a saucy little title, but instead they've ruined it. But before we get into any more of this podcast chat, we need to talk about a five-star review, which we do every single time. If you want yours read out, please leave us a five-star review and let us know why you love the P1 podcast. It helps us out massively. I can't tell you how much a review helps. So if you would love to do that, please do. This one comes in from Pepit48. To be honest, I never really knew you before, aside from a few videos I watched on your old platform. Feel like you are finally free to do your own thing, and I'm completely in love with that. You have officially rocketed up to number one in my F1 podcast. Hello, Pepe. You're feeling the vibes. I'm feeling the vibes, even if Ferrari did finish sixth and seventh today. But we move to the Matt's most memorable moment. Loads of M's. That's four M's. I love a bit of alliteration. And mine is Alonso does an Ocon. Well, I guess we talk about the entirety of Fernando Alonso's Grand Prix and the highs and lows, I suppose. But the Ocon thing is actually a quite crazy, synergy. That's not the right word. Comparison. A very like-for-like vibe from Ocon in Bahrain, who didn't go onto his grid box correctly, then failed to serve his penalty correctly and got another penalty. Alonso, he was quite far out of his grid box, in fairness, much more than what Ocon was, and then also did not serve his penalty correctly. But this time, actually, the difference, I suppose, is one, he didn't speed in the pit lane, Alonso, and two, he got told at the end of the race. Why not? Not even an investigation, not even noted. Clearly, Mercedes have just got on the blower and gone, have you seen the fact that rear jack man is, I think he's touching the car, mate. He's touching the car. And then the FIA have probably gone, we probably should have seen that. Penalty. And it's a 10-second penalty, not even a five, which means he gets demoted to fourth.
Yeah, that's pain for Alonso. You called it, to be fair to you, in our watch along. You saw it straight away that he was out his grid box, and they made a quick decision on that, but they did not make a quick decision on the second one. Alonso was popping off in an interview saying that, you know, why not? You had 35 laps. It's not like there was loads of crazy things going on in that race that they needed to sort out. Give them the penalty, because as soon as that whole 5 second thing came up, we were confused. We've still actually not got any clarification at the moment of what the penalty is. It's believed to be the jackman, but there's also confusion that it could be because he served the penalty behind a safety car. And the FIA haven't even clarified it yet. Make of that what you will.
Just FIA so, things.
Yeah. But either way, you can understand Alonso's frustrations, because as soon as they said, right near the end of the race, and Mercedes came on the radio and said, we think he's got a penalty, Alonso pulled a 5 second gap. It was very close, but he believes that he could have pulled a 10 second gap, but he didn't get that opportunity. And unsurprisingly, he's miffed that they had 35 laps to let him know, and he could have at least tried it.
Exactly. And of course, Fernando's going to say in an interview, well, I could have pulled 11 seconds, no problem. You know, just asking you, I shall deliver. But at the same time, 35 laps is a long time in order for you to push the car just that tiny bit more, that extra percent to gain a tenth a lap or whatever that you need to extend that to the right amount. So not happy, at least from my perspective. And I'm not even a massive Fernando Alonso fan. I just like the fact he's 41 and being a beast. I can only imagine the passionate Fernando fans out there and how they must feel. Although, to be fair, in the interview that Fernando had in the post-race, he wasn't actually that bothered. He kind of just still feels like in his brain he's had the podium, because he went up there, he had the champagne, he had the trophy for a little while, and he said, oh, well, I've just got 3 points less. So he got the photo. He even said he got
he's
the photos.
Loving life, isn't he?
He loves the limelight, and he's not really that bothered.
No, I think he's just loving life, loving the fact that he's got. Deep down, he knows that again he is the best of the rest behind the Red Bulls, which is unbelievable still. And just living the dream.
He certainly is. Question from Andre Sommers. What's going on with these 5-second penalties not being served correctly in two consecutive races? And how come they can't give that during the race or at least before the podium? I genuinely believe that the FIA didn't realise in time. And they got, you know, probably Mercedes, as I say, went on the phone, said, excuse me, have you seen this? And then the FIA probably went, no, we haven't. We're checking, maybe a bit of Ferrari vibes there. And then they had to give the penalty out, because realistically, Aston Martin did break the, you know, didn't serve the penalty correctly. So they have to give the penalty out. And it's such a shame, because as we keep going back to, you know, Formula One is in a growth period. There's so many new eyeballs onto the sport. And, you know, we're celebrating Fernando Alonso's 100th podium and what a drive, 41 years old, yada, yada, yada. To then find out, if you're a casual viewer in Australia, oh, by the way, Alonso lost his podium because there was a penalty that he should have been told previously during the race, but he got told afterwards when all of you turned off. It's so annoying. I know that it is Formula One, and that's just unfortunately the way the cookie is going to crumble sometimes. But it just feels like a lack of competence in some ways from the FIA.
It does. I'm wondering if they're now clamping down on it more since Ocon had his penalty, that they're maybe trying to police it more. But then you mentioned that it was never a thing until Mercedes sort of noticed it. So I wonder if someone on the pit wall, because there was not a lot going on, that someone at Mercedes could essentially just sit through the footage with a stopwatch and go, oh, I'm pretty sure that's 4.9 seconds there that he's served before that jackman touched it, or, you know, zooming in on the footage and stuff. So it's one of those things where I wonder how much this is going to get policed a lot more. I wonder if teams are now going to start to maybe just give it an extra half a second just to be safe.
Or because just don't touch the car.
Like, all that.
Just don't touch it. Because I remember watching it in the race and going, did that rear jackman just, I'm pretty sure he just touched the car.
He had plenty of time to wrestle as well. It wasn't like it was close and he was racing him out the pit lane.
Exactly.
Right?
So very strange, but you know, this is it. And I think maybe there's got to be some tweaking, because we can't keep having incorrectly served time penalties.
Yeah. Also, try telling a Formula One team that 0.1 of a second doesn't matter. They are.
True.
It's ingrained in their brain. They're literally working away at factories for 100 hours just to gain that time. So they're not going to want to lose it in a pit stop. But that's the risk you run.
Certainly do. Tommy, what's your most memorable moment?
My most memorable moment is the mind games between the two Red Bull drivers. It wasn't extreme mind games, you know. It's not spicy yet, but I think it's simmering. Should I say?
Little bubbly, you know, boy.
Yeah, exactly. It's bubbling. They said it was all fine after Brazil, didn't they? And oh, we've cleared the air and stuff. But I think there's still tension in the air there. Perez was definitely paranoid when they told him to back off a little bit, and he was like, well, no, because Max will just go quicker. So he clearly doesn't trust that that's not going to happen. Then you've got Max, who the championship lead was essentially because they'd finished 1-2 and no one got fastest lap in the last one. It was whoever got fastest lap would lead the title, and Max couldn't just, you know, no risk. He mentioned that he'd had a worried about his drive shaft again, but no, he wanted that fastest lap on the final lap. The team were like, why? We're not bothered about this. And he's like, well, I am, because he doesn't want to give Sergio a sniff. He doesn't want to have 2 weeks of Sergio Perez being the championship leader. It's all about those mind games. And we didn't quite get the spice because Max didn't catch him up. But I think it might just be the little sprinkling to set it up.
It's interesting you say that, because I never really clocked on to it being mind games as such or anything kind of like that. I feel as though that sort of driver paranoia is within any team. And the fact is that, you know, realistically, they are, you know, if they're quite closely and quite competitive, then they will obviously be like, oh, well, no, I'm not going to go slower if teammates want to go slower. So I don't know. I wonder how much tension there is right now. I think the tension will skyrocket if they actually have some wheel-to-wheel action. Now, that's where we will know very quickly if Perez is over Brazil, if they do go wheel-to-wheel in the next few races, and how much room he gives his fellow teammate. Will he be racing Max in the near future? That's also a question, because yes, his race pace was brilliant, but you have to also assume that Max was going to get pole position yesterday if he did not have his problem with his car. And realistically, could Perez have won the race? I mean, his race pace was brilliant at the end, so I can't absolutely 100% say no, but I think if you're a betting person, you would have gone for Max over Sergio in that race had qualifying been normal. But yeah, interesting. It's certainly something to watch, and it might well be the only thing we are hanging on to is these two potentially are going to war. So let's see. Next question is MS Lyson. Will Red Bull let the guys race now, or will they still want to focus on one driver to have a better chance of winning the World Drivers Championship? They're in a very luxurious position, Red Bull. They were a second a lap quicker than any other car for the majority of that race, especially in the final stint. They just cleared off. So they have a huge amount in pocket. Now, their development might not be as good come the end of the season because of their restricted wind tunnel time compared to the likes of Aston Martin, and maybe one or two tracks Aston might actually be there or thereabouts. But realistically, Red Bull have not as much of a choice to make at this point. If we go back to last year, they'd be going all eggs in Max's basket. But this is very much a Hamilton-Rosberg situation where the team have the luxury to just go, well, you can race, just be respectful.
It does feel like 2014, doesn't it? When obviously Max has started 15th and he's just so easily finished second. It was, he just kind of, he didn't get through the field maybe as quick as we thought, but I think once he was sort of, you knew he had the time, and I don't think he was in a rush at the start. But I think Red Bull, their team management and all of those guys are probably in a strange way. Well, they'll be happy because they got a 1-2, but thankful that Max did not close up to the back of Sergio, because I think that would have been a tough call. They'd have had a headache to decide, because in previous years, last year, Baku comes to mind, where, you know, they said, don't fight him, because they were fighting Leclerc. But when they're 40 seconds up the road and a second a lap quicker than everyone else, they don't have that excuse anymore. So that's going to be really interesting when we do see that. I really wish we had have seen it in the race. Generally, not just because I'm a Max fan and obviously would have liked to have seen him won. I wanted to see that battle. I didn't actually mind who won. I really wanted to see Max get to the back of him and seen Sergio defending, what the team would have done. Would they have tried to call it off? Would they? It would have been fascinating, and it is a big shame that we didn't get to see that.
And I think personally, a lot of people, us included, assumed that we were going to see it. with 25 laps to go.
As soon as the safety car came out, I think we both said, well, this is it, Max has won.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, he's in a great position. He was fourth at the time, I think. He dispatched of Alonso on lap 25 and had free rein for 25 laps to catch Sergio Perez, and he didn't. So that in itself, you have to commend Checo's performance because it really was up there, and he's really a street circuit king. So I'm not sure he'd be able to do that in Bahrain, for example. It seemed like Max was very much clear there. Let's go to the next question. Jadenock, do you think Red Bull actually want Checo to battle Max this season? I could see Perez doing a Rosberg if the timing lines up. Sounds very much like what you kind of thought, Tommy, that maybe Sergio Perez sneaks the championship. Why don't you go? Because I've been listening to the podcast feedback and they don't want me to go every time first. So, Tommy, why don't you give me your original thought and then I'll follow you? How about those apples?
Okie doke. Well, yeah, I said this yesterday, was it? About, you know, this,
so your burner
this
account.
Could happen. Yeah, no. but I've seen a few people put this into the mix now because essentially Red Bull are in a Mercedes 2014 era at the moment. Whether they will be by the end of it with all the development time, etc., we're yet to see. But at the moment, they have so much in hand, the most dominant car. Feels like both of them could start last and they'd still finish 1-2. They are miles clear of the field. So realistically, I don't think many people will disagree, unless you're a Checo stan, that Verstappen's a better driver and is going to, you know, more likely, more often than not, finish ahead of Sergio. But realistically, if Max is finishing first and Checo's finishing second every race, one DNF for Max and Checo finishing the race, it's a 25-point swing.
Which is basically three 1-2s, isn't it?
Exactly. So it's huge for the championship, and that's exactly what happened. I don't want to discredit Rosberg's championship. Obviously, Hamilton had a lot of reliability issues at the start, and when he got to the end of the year, Rosberg was in a very luxurious position where he knew he could just finish second in the final three races, where he just knew, and realistically, that car could do that very easily. So you never know. We've got to look forward to something, haven't we?
Yep, hype, big hype. Come on, let's go. But yes, I don't quite see it. I feel as though Perez might lack a bit. Although, to be fair, though, Rosberg did lack quite a bit of performance compared to Hamilton at some tracks as well, but then still managed to pop it P2, even if he was like 4 or 5 tenths behind Hamilton. So maybe it would have to take Verstappen, especially with it being a 23-race season. It would take a few moments of Verstappen DNFing and Perez taking the victory. And let's not count out the other 9 teams. One of them might get it right, but I'm not holding my breath. Let's go to the next question, which is around the safety car. Lance Stroll went boom, and very abruptly went boom, actually. And then they were like, stop the car on track. And he then pulled off at the sort of hairpin turn. Don't know what turn that is. Can't remember off the top of my head. But it's the long sweeping one where Stroll did that amazing move on Sainz at the start of the race, which was saucy, to say the least. He stops, goes literally through, pretty much is on the escape part, and maybe 1 millimetre of his wheel is on the track. Boom, safety car, huh? Weird decision, would you not say?
It was a very weird decision because he was already had a wheel down the escape road. So surely they just wheel him down there and he's fine. I don't know how much my concern at the start was, well, that looks like it's going to be a safety car, because we were on board with Stroll and you could kind of see that he was down that road, but you couldn't quite tell where it was until we saw the offboard. But the FIA have loads of angles, so surely they can see that he's nicely down the escape road. And I guess they wanted to be safe than sorry, but if they want to be safer, it's a virtual safety car all day long, right? Not a full safety car. I do love us though, right?
We're there always complaining that we don't get a safety car, and then the FIA are like, let's go full safety here, boom. And then we start complaining. I think it's purely from a... we were both happy that it was hopefully going to spice up the race, although it might not actually have done that. But when you actually look at the situation and you look at fairness in the sport, I don't know. It just seemed like a very weird decision to go straight. As you say, VSC, why is it there if you're not going to use it? Because that neutralizes the race. It doesn't mess up many people's races unless someone's trying to pit and gain a bit of time in the pit lane. But it was an odd decision. I can't deny it. But it and, you know, people on Twitter and Twitch are like, ah, Red Bull assistants, they're there trying to help Max. When you actually look at what you're saying, Formula One wants, or the FIA want Red Bull to dominate even harder, and then nobody watches. That doesn't
also
quite
that
make
penalty
sense.
Until they screwed it up, obviously, with potentially with the Jackman at least. That penalty was actually a free hit for Alonso, so it benefited him. So
it benefited, you know, but didn't
safety
benefit.
Cars. Yeah, exactly. To answer Conman's question of did it turn the race into a bore, it kind of did and it didn't. You could argue that Red Bull, it helped Verstappen out a lot, but put him in that situation where he was going to attack Sergio, because realistically, the safety car doesn't come out. Verstappen's still getting past Alonso, Russell. It's just taking a bit longer, and we don't have that battle for the lead. Now, we didn't get the battle for the lead, but it sort of baited us into believing that we might. And then you had a few other battles like the two Ferraris, which we'll go into later, the two Mercedes that didn't quite materialize. So it could have made it good. I don't think it made it worse.
Yeah, because realistically, what would we have had instead? We would have had Verstappen just coming through to second
further
place.
Back, yeah.
And then it would have just been a stalemate again, realistically.
Yeah.
There wasn't, it just was one of those races that didn't have the chaos that perhaps we were all expecting from Saudi. And yeah, it did. I think Red Bull were going to get an easy 1-2 no matter what the outcome of the safety car.
We need to learn from this, because I nearly said it, but I didn't want to jinx at the start of our Twitch stream. And I also didn't want to be a really negative Nancy. But every time a race is really hyped, it doesn't deliver. Because we had Verstappen in 15th, it's like, oh, this is going to be a banger now. I feel like the bangers always come when you don't expect it. And when there's
rain,
too much hype.
Oh, it's raining, oh my God. And then it's a pretty boring rain race. And you're like, actually, it would have been better in the dry with DRS.
Yeah, true. So we'll see. But I don't think the safety car particularly ruined or made it better. It just kind of existed.
So the learnings are basically, if you get excited about the prospect of something, don't. That's the learnings from the
what a
the
positive podcast.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Next question. Half court Henry 5. Should Ferrari have let Charles pass Carlos, as it was clear Leclerc was faster? Also, how long will Ferrari hold on to Sainz, because he's always slower than Charles? Oof. I think yes and no. Ferrari, it wasn't like they were battling for a podium necessarily. They weren't particularly quick this weekend. And if they instill team orders this early, what does that do to Carlos's morale and motivation, I suppose? He wasn't astoundingly quicker, otherwise he would have passed Carlos. I know that Leclerc was coming over the radio saying, you know, this is really hurting me and you couldn't get close and whatnot, but I don't think there was a massive pace differential that meant that Charles Leclerc could have really done much more than just beat Carlos. Perhaps it was worth Ferrari switching the two and seeing what Charles could do, and then if he couldn't gain any more places, give the place back to Carlos. But apart from that, The only thing that really screwed over Charles was his radio engineer not telling him to push to the safety car line one and allowing, was it Russell or Hamilton? I can't remember. One of the Mercedes.
I think it was Hamilton.
Yes, which to be fair wouldn't have mattered either because Hamilton was on the mediums and would have cleared Leclerc very quickly. So it was just a terrible race for Ferrari. Even though, it was good.
Yeah.
They did well with the strategy, but then they had not much pace and then just kind of chilled in sixth and seventh, which is just not where anyone, I mean, not where I want them.
Well, they got screwed by the safety car immediately because they had actually done, we had a very rare situation where we get an overcut where you stay out and actually are better than normally you pit early, get on new tyres and you're so much quicker, but the hards were not great. And that allowed, I think it was Sainz, wasn't it, that overtook Stroll quite easily doing that. And to answer the question about Charles and Carlos, it was very concerning at the start how easily Charles kind of ended up on the back of Carlos when Charles the one that's been shafted with a penalty. It's very similar to last year, not just because Charles seems to be the one that's having the problems and getting the penalties and stuff, but Carlos just, I know it's only two races, but it's giving me a lot of deja vu from last year. He just does not seem to be on that level. And I really thought these two would be really closely matched. If you take away, if we just go right back to the start of 2022, I thought these would be two of the closely matched his teammate, but Carlos just doesn't seem to be able to get there.
But then if you were then to put this Ferrari pairing into what the Red Bull car is, you go,
it is perfect.
Perfect 1-2. You've got the Verstappen second, and the Perez, and they win everything. So I don't think Sainz is bad enough that you can start questioning his performances and whether he deserves to be in a Ferrari, because realistically he still finished sixth. He isn't on Leclerc's level, but there aren't many drivers that are on Leclerc's level. I mean, who are you swapping signs out for? Hamilton? I know that's a far-fetched story here. And if that's possible, sure. But it's not if we're actually being realistic here.
Yeah. And you've got the potential for fireworks if they do end up putting two extremely close drivers into the mix.
That's very true, Tom Bellingham. At @Formula_Prax, is Leclerc finally reaching his limit with Ferrari? The radio between them felt very frustrating to watch. I don't think it was that bad of a team radio, personally. I think it was very much just an outburst of him going, I mean, come on, like, you can't just tell me to push after I'm supposed to have pushed. It was a small error from Ferrari, which cost them a position, which at the end of the day didn't cost them anything, but I suppose you don't know that in the situation. So it was an error from Ferrari, but I've been hurt much more than what that Ferrari error was. And yeah, it didn't cost them anything at the end of the day. But Charles, you know, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He'll tell them if he's not happy during the race. But I don't think it was too over the top that you go, wow, Leclerc, he might be leaving Ferrari next year.
Not yet.
You need to stop muting your microphone.
Sorry, it all adds up, doesn't it? These things, you just wonder how many more of these things he can take before he loses it. But he's been through a lot already. I know it's only a little thing, but it's the little things that just keep adding up. And he's driving very, very well. He's extremely quick. He's world championship worthy, in my opinion. He just doesn't have the car or the team to deliver him that at the moment.
Fun times, hey? We love being Leclerc fans in this house. Hugh500023, are McLaren, I'm sorry, McLaren fans, you might want to turn off the podcast if you don't want to listen to this part. Are McLaren now treating Piastri as the number one after what we saw in the last few laps? No, I'm sorry, Hugh. Thanks for sending in your question. But no, I think they were on different tyres, weren't they, at the end of the race? I think all you can take from that is, one, McLaren have a very bad car at the moment. And two, Piastri is actually really good. And that those two together, when you have a decent car, McLaren fans, let's look into the future. When you have a good car, you've got a great combination of drivers to get a lot of points. That's how I see it. That's how I saw it at the start of the season before we began, is that Piastri is another one of those talents. Maybe he'll be as good as Russell, Norris and whatnot. He'll have to prove himself, but they're a great lineup and you just have to fix your car and then you'll see it.
I can't believe we're saying that fair play to Piastri. He's actually had a good weekend, because realistically he was fighting at the back and McLaren were absolutely dreadful, and it was pain seeing those two scrapping over 16th or whatever it was.
And both pit for front wings on lap one.
Yeah, exactly. So Piastri had a great qualifying, unlucky at the start to get a bit of contact, but holding his own against Lando, which Daniel Ricciardo did not do very often, arguably one race, which he won, you could even say. So
let's not forget Mexico Piastri on the old soft tyres.
Oh, sorry, was, yes.
Sorry. I know Danny Rick fans.
I could hear
like,
the Danny Rick fans.
Mention
yeah.
it.
But Piastri, I said that maybe 6-7 races he'll be getting there with Lando, and fair play to him. He's looking pretty good already.
And that's so all he can do, right? Even in a terrible car, to prove himself, he just needs to match or beat his teammate.
Yeah, so actually, the whole, yes, he... this whole narrative of Piastri is going to change. One week will be like, oh, I should have gone to Alpine, and then next week he'll be like, oh, actually, no, McLaren. Because I guess the good side, even if McLaren are washed, and they are very washed right now, we said if he manages to be even on Lando's level, he's going to look an absolute legend and everyone's going to go, wow, Piastri is actually really good. And I think he very much did that this weekend.
He got his elbows out to him as well, didn't he?
He did.
Trying to pass Lando into the last corner, then they're jostling around a bit. Then he does eventually get past Lando as well. And tell me the last time we saw Danny Rick do that. As much as I love Danny Rick to absolute pieces, when did we really ever see those two go wheel to wheel on pure pace? Hardly ever.
Yeah, not in a battle, no.
So, good job, Piastri, even though it might not feel like it because you were battling Logie Bear for what was, I think, 14th. So let's ignore that one. We now move to biggest winner. So this can be a driver or a team. And I have gone for, no, it's not Red Bull, Aston Martin. I feel like they are a big winner. Don't you make that face. What are you making
Stroll
that face
literally
for?
Retired.
Yeah, listen. Just let me...
Okay, go on.
Look, I'm trying to be different, okay? Going for Red Bull is boring, okay? I am saying Aston Martin, not because Alonso got a penalty and Stroll DNF'd, but I'm talking about the pace, okay? Bahrain could have been an anomaly. They could have just got it right with the setup and it's a one-off fluke. I think what Saudi proves is that they are here to stay for the entire year. They've got a huge amount of wind tunnel time. Maybe they need to fix a few things on Stroll's car, and I'm sure Lawrence Stroll is going to be making sure that that happens. Otherwise, people are going to get fired. So I think they are a winner in terms of the longevity of the season and how they will probably be fighting for podiums throughout it. Let's ignore the DNF and the post-race penalty and talk about the pace. That's how I'm seeing it anyway.
That's a fair argument, actually. I was like, when you put Aston Martin, I was like, what?
Just a bit different,
yeah.
You know? Just-
yeah, and also, yeah, you're right. The fact that they've turned up, and if Alonso, if you discount Jack Mann maybe touching the car 0.1 of a second too early, they're showing that, again, that they're the second best car, which is fair play to them. Yeah, I'd just be boring and saying Red Bull because they're absolutely miles clear and it's not very fun. But if I go for something different, I will say Alpine. They had a decent... They essentially were best of the rest today.
Okay, so but biggest winner bar Red Bull. Okay, so just for the editor's perspective of whatever he puts in the graphic, which one are you going for?
Red Bull.
Okay,
it's
there
boring.
You go. Good. Okay, as for the biggest loser, which can also be a driver or team, there is no surprise that I'm going for McLaren. It is a really torrid time for the McLaren team at the moment. To be right at the back of the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, yes, they both had problems and whatnot, but they just didn't seem to really come back through the field. They had the opportunity of a safety car as well, bunched up the field. If they had the pace, they maybe would have progressed a bit further, but they only ended up battling Logan Sargeant in the Williams, which is not where anyone in the world for McLaren or non-McLaren fans would have expected them to be this year. So it has to be, as much as Piastri made Q3, which was a really impressive performance, Norris's problem in qualifying as well, with him turning early into the wall, they have to be the losers.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree because, yeah, shocking. Lando hitting the wall, rare mistake for him in qualifying as well. And then both of them having problems in the race and then just slow. Like, just seeing them down there is just terrible.
Would you have any other biggest losers, bar McLaren? Bottas.
Bottas. Oh, yeah, very true. What was he doing?
I don't know.
I don't think he's actually finished the race yet. He was that far behind.
And he had such a good Bahrain as well. Like, what is going on with Alfa Romeo? Nowhere.
They were really slow and he just was miles off the pace. So, yeah, weird from Bottas.
Yeah, Tommy's thinking maybe his 16th prediction for the Drivers' Championship might maybe back on now with Alfa Romeo being watched.
P16 back on.
Okay, let's reflect now on our predictions that we made on Thursday. We do it every single Thursday, our predictions ahead of the Grand Prix. And there might be some arguments to try and secure some points here. So, biggest good surprise, I went for Charles Leclerc. Now, they did surprise us with the fact... No, okay, fine, no points. Tommy.
My biggest surprise was...
Ocon.
Oh, God.
He wasn't Ocon.
Seventh. No, yeah, Ocon. Oh. But he... I thought he'd finished seventh. No, he finished eighth, so even worse. I can't claim it. That's so annoying. He finished best of the rest, but I shot myself in the foot by saying, oh, I'm not going to claim it if he's seventh. I thought, you know.
Being specific always shoots you in the foot.
I just couldn't just bag the easy points, could I? God's sake.
Well done, Tommy, but 0 points. Biggest flop. I went for Logan Sargeant. Now, what are we saying for this? Okay, he had... Come on! I think half a point.
I get half a point for Ocon if you get half a point for Logie.
No, but you were specific. I wasn't. Biggest flop. I was just like, Logie. Logie Bear's going to have a terrible... Didn't... No. Yeah, I guess Bottas flopped much harder than that, as did Norris. All right, yeah, fine. No points. Don't care.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I went for Mercedes, which was equally terrible because I got a blooming podium.
Yeah, that's 0 points for us so far. Pole position. All right, I think I get half a point here for going left field with Charles Leclerc.
No.
And he was a tenth and a half off.
To be fair, I imagine at the start of the weekend saying that your prediction would be closer than mine. I went for Verstappen, which was also wrong, but yours was closer.
It was closer.
But you're still not getting a point.
0 points. Okay, my top three was Verstappen, Leclerc, Perez. Oh, completely wrong. And yours?
Verstappen, Perez, Sainz. Wow. Also completely wrong.
I scored five points last week, 2 weeks ago.
I genuinely don't think you're going to top that.
No.
Because there's not that many points on the board here.
Our one crazy prediction. Now, this I am arguing for half a point because the FIA
are just jokes.
They're absolute jokers. I went for no safety car, and that was not a safety car. There is no way in hell that was supposed to be a safety car. I've been robbed in broad daylight. Well, actually, no, it was a night race.
Hashtag robbed. What lap did it come out on?
Would have been like early 20s, was it?
You're gonna tweet hashtag void lap 23 Matt robbed.
What were we thinking? I mean, you're the other part.
I can't.
Party here.
No, I can't because it was a safety car. I think you could even, you know, if it was a VSC, then we could start kind of be like, oh, I didn't say virtual safety car, but there was literally a safety car. So
no, but it shouldn't have happened. Okay, fine.
I'm
no
sorry.
Points,
you've
whatever.
Been robbed by the FIA.
I absolutely have.
Yeah. And I went for double Williams points, so what an idiot.
Yeah, that wasn't even
close.
We've
got none. Have we got
none?
We've got none. Yeah, we've got none.
Zero
wow.
points
it
this week.
It was going so well. God,
I had so
none.
Many close ones. Sargeant should have been potentially a flop. Leclerc was a tenth and a half off pole. It definitely wasn't a safety car. Yeah, there's a lot that I've been robbed of here, to be honest with you. And if Leclerc got pole, then he would have been biggest good surprise, possibly. So, God damn it, it's fine. We're both coming out with 0 points, even though yours were absolutely washed. I feel like mine's like a better zero somehow.
Better zero.
There we go.
You finished like 11th. I finished like, yeah. I got a DNF. Yeah.
But still, it says
you were
nothing.
Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. So we still stay at 5-3 then as we go into the Australian Grand Prix in a couple of weeks' time. Tommy, what are your final thoughts? We're at the end because it's one of those like 6 out of 10, maybe even a 5 out of 10 Grand Prix where,
God,
realistically, was there much else to talk about?
Not really. So I will end by saying happy Mother's Day, because it's the Mother's Day and why not?
No, fair. Big shout out to the
mums. There's not much to talk about. Shout out to the mum. Shout out to my mum who does actually watch all these podcasts. So this is a good test to see if she does actually watch them all and
same for
and
my
has
mum.
Made it 39 minutes in.
Are you listening, mum? If you're watching this podcast and you love me, you will message me saying thanks. Thanks, Matt, for the shout out in the podcast. Big shout out to Julie. Okay.
So yeah, there's nothing, there's not much to talk about. So yeah, happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there.
Okay, and my final thoughts are, we're doing a live show.
That's going to be the final thought all the time.
Well, we are on the 6th of April.
We sure are.
Leicester Square Theatre, 9:30 PM. If you want to come along and enjoy our washed opinions in the flesh, then feel free to check out the link, which will be everywhere in the episode description or on social media. And it'll be amazing to see you there. So thank you so much. And that is it. We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time for the Australian Grand Prix. We'll be doing lots more content before then. We'll be doing streams. We'll be doing YouTube videos. So get ready for that. And we've got an interesting video as well coming out tomorrow about Alonso and that whole joke of a penalty. So look forward to that. See you very soon. Bye!
Bye!
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.